Welcome to Cardicast, a glam podcast brought to you by New Cardigan. If you'd like to become a member of New Cardigan, head to our website at newcardigan.org. And if you're able to do so, please consider making a donation after you've joined, or maybe even buy a t-shirt. We're run entirely by volunteers, so anything you can do helps us to keep the servers whirring and the Cardies partying. This episode features an interview with Kinnan Muir, Senior Project Officer at the Koora Youth Council, cosplayer and part of the Indigenous Comic-Con that's coming out to Australia in 2019. We're going to have a chat about cosplay and Comic-Cons and how this can all sort of intersect with the Indigenous.
Yes. Or that geeky goodness, as geeky. I like to say, and conventions and this new rise, I guess, of Indigenous young people getting into these sorts of areas, which is very exciting.
Mm-hmm. What I think that we might start off with is you're a cosplayer and you go to cons.
Yep.
What is it about cosplay and cons that make you excited, I guess?
Yeah, so I started attending cons, conventions, around Australia about 9-10 years ago. I started cosplaying about 7 years ago. I started that. I actually started that because I met my partner, who's actually into lots of anime and manga characters. So she persuaded me to start dressing up.
Who was your first cosplay?
My first cosplay was Arthur from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I have been to so many like dress-up parties as Arthur because essentially it's just cruising around in your pyjamas and a dressing gown.
It is hella comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I tend to look for cosplays that are comfortable for me, whereas you get some of the more serious cosplayers who are amazing at what they do. They create something mind-blowing and they have to contort their bodies into all these different shapes, and I just think, how uncomfortable are you right now? It amazes me.
You started off going to cons with your partner. So what is it about them that you enjoy that makes you go back and continue to go to them?
Look, I've always had an interest in reading comics, reading graphic novels. Batman is my superhero. So I started reading those just because I started enjoying the stories that they told, the lessons they taught. I do like reading in between the lines, I guess. I did a few units on media and communications at uni, so a lot of my essays were looking at the Marvel and DC movies, which at uni that was, you know, that was a nice break to be able to turn on Iron Man and say, oh no, this, I'm studying. This is my homework, so it's fine.
Got to work every angle.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So yeah, I read comics, started attending conventions, found like-minded people who I could chat to about this, because in my existing circle of friends and my community, I couldn't really find anyone who was interested in the same things as I was. I'm a big-time video gamer. I play board games. I read comic books, go see comic book movies. I love reading. I just couldn't find anyone like that around me who I could talk to about that. So from there, I went to conventions, found people, like-minded people I could talk to about this.
So you made that connection.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of my closest friends are actually through conventions, mm-hmm. and we're still close friends. And from there I started cosplaying. You know, it was a bit strange at the start because I only attended conventions as a fan, and I would see these people dress up and think, oh, okay, that's sort of weird, but okay. Until I started cosplaying and I thought, there was no life before cosplay for me. It was just like this whole new door opened up for me, and I started connecting with some of the most crazy creative people I could ever find, and people who cosplayed, you know, used household items to create these amazing works of art.
Because I think that there's that common misconception with cosplay that you have to have all of these mad sewing skills or, you know, that kind of stuff, that you have to know how to 3D print or mold things or all of that kind of stuff, which I don't know about you, but I've created a very good costume out of cardboard. And sometimes you just get inventive right and go, that looks like the thing that I wanted. If I spray painted a different color, it looks legit and let's go.
No, I am no sewer at all. I have no skills around how to make costumes with a sewing machine. But so my angle of cosplay is I source a lot of my own materials. I look very closely at the details and, you know, I'd go to Savers or op shops and try and find these materials to put together and make this kick-ass cosplay. But my message through cosplay is, as an Indigenous cosplayer, I think, well, as a young person, I also think that we need to eliminate this concept of shame in the community. So as a young person, I don't think shame belongs in any young person. As an Indigenous person, it's a very foreign concept that's made its way to our country. I use cosplay as a message.
Okay, so let's break down this concept of shame, because I know that within the cosplay, the cosplay utopia is that people dress up to be like they explore their own identity politic, I guess, throughout the form of cosplay. So they see somebody that they want to be like, they dress like them, they emulate them, they get to walk around in inverted commas their skin for a day and then get to experience that, so they explore their own identity within that.
Yes.
You're saying as an Indigenous person that allows you the opportunity to do that, but the shame comes in at some point. Where does the shame come in?
I think at the beginning, because cosplay is something away from the norm, so I think some people view it as something shameful or something not normal to other people, and people fear what they don't understand, really. So I use cosplay as a vessel to portray this message to our future generations of Indigenous people that, look, this, you don't have to be ashamed if you like Sailor Moon or if you like Batman.
Mm-hmm.
You can still dress up as them. I think there's a huge movement around cultural misappropriation and representation in the cosplay community. But I think for any cosplayer, considering any misinterpretation of culture, of a character, you have to consider, okay, how do I want to represent them? What is my approach to this? And I think from there, there'll be a lot of discussion around that, I guess,
mm-hmm.
around how you portrayed that character. So, for example, if a young white woman wanted to portray Pocahontas, for mm-hmm. example, that's, yeah, go ahead. She's a kick-ass Disney character. Why wouldn't you? But I think you have to approach that in the right way. You don't want to obviously darken your skin, because that is racist.
Yes.
You
blackface is not okay.
Yes, people, no, not mm-hmm. okay. And you don't want to overdo it in the accessories to the point where the Native American community will say, no, that's not okay. It's a Disney character. Stick with how the characters portrayed in the Disney films, which in itself is questionable to some people. But if you're going to portray a character, do it in your own skin, but also remember that other people are watching you.
Mm-hmm.
Another great example of this is one woman from, I believe, London,
mm-hmm.
Wanted to make the costume of the Black Panther's mother, the Queen. She was white, but I mean, she made the costume as accurate as I've ever seen, and she just had the costume. She did not feel the need to darken her skin, which is more power to her.
Yeah, I think that in that context, what we're talking about is embodying the character and being able to do that in a way that is, if you want to explore a character that is without side of your own cultural milieu, that is still sensitive to that particular culture.
Yeah.
I guess it's kind of a bit tricky for a lot of people from different cultural backgrounds because they're not represented as much within the comic book world, especially mainstream comics, which is like when people go to cons, they generally tend to start off with quite a well-known character and then work their way back to things that are more obscure, like the more that they get into the culture. And really, apart from Black Panther, there isn't a whole lot of super being the operative word, representation of a variety of cultures. From an Indigenous point of view, really the only one that's kind of in mainstream, in inverted commas, is Clever Man, which is also that can kind of compete with the visual medium. I know that there are comic books that are available, but if it's in the more mainstream kind of culture, there's still really limited options. Maybe some of these issues are because people haven't been able to stretch their legs in that space particularly often.
Yeah, maybe, definitely. You know? I think so. Clever Man's a great example of that. Ryan Griffin, who's created Clever Man, did this for his son because his son said, "Why are there no superheroes on television who look like me?" So that's the story behind that. It's a story that's even goes back to the painting of Captain Corey by the amazing late Bill Owners, who painted that for his son because at the time he did not see any superheroes that looked like him either. So I think that's pretty
quite important for young people to actually see themselves. Like, I've been listening to a lot of things that have been happening in the Wheeler Centre about Indigenous writers writing about their sort of formative experiences growing up in Australia, and just the simple fact of either growing up in towns where they don't look like everybody else, or just having some sort of visual representation where it's like, ah, I see you, I am like you, I am not alone in this situation, seems to be super important in a way that, me being not of an Indigenous background, like I see me everywhere. And so just being able to realise that I am privileged within my representations and being able to have pick and choose as opposed to just having that one thing in order to be able to grab hold of. That really wasn't a question. That was probably more of a statement.
But it's true. It's young people like to see other people who look like them, whether that's on screen or, you know, kicking ass in the world as NASA scientists or engineers or sports people. Young people want to see what they could aspire to.
The possibilities.
Yeah.
So this might bring us nicely around to some of the work that you're doing with the Indigenous Comic-Con, which is a con that happens in America, in Albuquerque, in New Mexico. So how did you get involved with the Indigenous Comic-Con?
Yeah, we were actually talking about it today. So way back in, no, not way back, it was only 2 years ago. Back in
way back 2 years ago.
I remember back in 2016. In 2016, when this first started, I contacted the creator of Indigenous Comic-Con, Lee Francis, through their Facebook page, actually, and said, basically, I was in the cosplay community doing my thing. I read up, started researching all these kick-ass Indigenous superheroes in the mainstream media, such as in Marvel Comics and DC Comics. So I had a good idea of what I was passionate about, which was pop culture and everything nerdy, basically. So I contacted him and said, oh, you know, I'd really love to try and get this up and going in Australia. Are you interested in helping me out? Expecting, you know, no answer back, because it's America. It's got some of the biggest cons in the world over there. So about a week later, I got a message back from Lee saying, yeah, man, let's do it. How can we get this going?
Social media, bringing the people together.
Exactly. Shout out to social media. So, yeah, that's how it started. And then we had started having a few Skype calls about how we actually do this. He made the announcement a bit closer to 2018 that they're coming over to Australia. Mm-hmm. And then, now he's here visiting Melbourne to help me scout out some locations.
Excellent. Maybe we should just cover a little bit of what the Indigenous Comic-Con in the US looks like.
Yep.
Because if anybody is interested, there are many really quite lovely YouTube bits and pieces that you can go and have a look at with the Indigenous Comic-Con.
Yes.
But it does seem to be predominantly Native American centric.
Yes.
So how will that translate to the the Australian context, I guess? Like, will there still be some of that Native American aspect to it, or will it be just focused on Indigenous Australian culture?
Yeah. So Indigenous Comic-Con is a celebration of all Indigenous talent and artists, illustrators, film and TV stars. So that's our platform. I'm suspecting what it will look like over here is obviously a lot of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander talent, but also there may be some Maori talent coming over if they're interested, some Pacifica talent, and if there's Native American talent who want to come over, of course, they're welcome. It's really just a platform for Indigenous people to say, hey, we're still doing amazing stuff over here, around the world, really. Our culture is still alive, and check out this awesome stuff over here.
I want to talk about the awesome stuff very briefly. Like, do you have, for people that are uninitiated like me, because I don't think that I've actually read very many Indigenous titles in the graphic novel world.
Yeah.
What are some recommendations?
Okay, what's good to read? At the moment, there's the Indigenous talent in the comic book world in Australia is very rare. I think it's going to be a huge market if, you know, we get more Indigenous people generating some more stories, drawing some more comic book characters and all of that sort of stuff. But there's, you know, a whole heap of Native American comic book writers who are writing amazing stuff. For example, there's Tribal Force over there. I've only heard of this, but I thought, how cool is that? There's Indigenous people writing Indigenous content for people of my generation and younger. But one thing in Australia, which I would very much encourage everyone to get on, is Gestalt Comics have started, I guess, producing these Clever Man comics or graphic novels to go on from the Clever Man TV series. And I mean, you know, I can't say enough about Clever Man. It's so awesome. I love it. It's a new way of showing someone who looks like me, an Aboriginal man, who it still incorporates the tradition of a Clever Man's and our other Dreamtime stories as well. But to see something such as Clever Man portrayed in this sort of dystopian Australia, not too far in the future of what potentially could happen, and, you know, how would Australia deal with these superhumans. Yeah, in that sort of alternative universe, that's, you know, that's mind-blowing to me. The first time I saw it, I thought, holy moly, what is this? Mm-hmm. I've got to get involved with this somehow and use my message of what I'm doing to further advance our young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who are passionate about, like, comics and sci-fi and pop culture, and say, no, keep doing your thing. This is awesome what you're passionate about. And, you know, show them this new landscape, which is just going to thrive in Australia, I think.
I think it's important that, like, those two worlds don't have to be mutually exclusive. Like, the fact that the two can blend so well into narrative that is so poignant and so interesting and really so incredibly important. Like, I can remember when I was watching the first season of Clever Man and going, this is something that we should have had years ago. Like, it was a long, long time coming, essentially. But just in, we'll go back to the Indigenous Comic-Con. We'll bring it all back.
We'll rope it back.
Exactly. Just at the moment, you said that you're going around and you're looking at venues. So that that means that you're getting to the point where you're trying to solidify a lineup for things to happen with the cons. So you're in a hot-footed hunt for talent.
I definitely am. So we're probably about a year out, I'd say, from this Indigenous Comic-Con in Australia. I am more than excited as a fan, but I also...
Have you actually been to the con over in the US?
I will be. I just got announced as an international cosplay guest this year, which is pretty amazing. I mean, the organizer, Lee Francis, told me, oh, yeah, no, we've got your flights, accommodation, tickets. And I'm just like, what? So, yeah, I'll be over there, see how everything runs this year, and then I'll bring that over here but put my own spin on it. So at the moment we're looking at potential sites for this. I've been in contact with a few different organisations, agencies and people around Australia, but if you're interested, contact me.
Anybody at all. Maybe not quite anybody, but anybody that is particularly interested in Indigenous representation in comic books and stuff.
So, yeah, at the moment I'd be looking for Indigenous talent in, you know, the comic book world, film and TV world, the cosplay world, the gaming world.
Because the Indigenous Comic-Con in the US also have just straight-up artists that have sort of like done a Native American take of some of the larger sort of Marvel or DC, like just being able to put their own particular flavour on things, like their fanfic, so to speak, but within their own cultural context, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So, for example... I know there's a Native American artist who uses the Star Wars Stormtrooper helmets.
I saw those. They were amazing.
Paints them, and they're, I mean, I would like to bring several back home if I can.
Just secrete them about your body.
Yes, please, please. So that's an example of, I guess, how we're utilizing these already established pop culture icons, I guess, bringing our own Indigenous flair to them, which is, you know, I see some people do this sort of art and I just think, how did you come up with this? What mindset led you to this?
That just must be so inspiring, though.
It is, it is.
So if anybody is out there that... is similarly inspired by popular culture and wants to be part of the first Australian Indigenous Comic-Con, then how do they get in contact with you?
So my Twitter handle is at Keenan, C-I-E-N-A-N underscore C-J, C-E-E-J-A-Y. So yeah, get in contact with me.
I'm so looking forward to seeing what happens with the Indigenous Comic Con. So that's happening in November of 2019, is it?
No. So we're still currently looking at dates for 2019.
Yeah. But sometime.
One this year is November 2nd to 4th.
2nd to 4th, 2018. So yeah. If you want to go to the US and have some Indigenous Comic Con fun times, get yourself to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah.
Go check out the stuff. All right, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, my pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this interview with Keenan Muir, Senior Project Officer at the Koori Youth Council, cosplayer, and part of the Indigenous Comic Con that's coming out to Australia in 2019. We'd love for you to review us on iTunes. It does help other people find out about CardiCast and it lets us know we're on the right track. Click the subscribe button to keep an ear out for more CardiCasts. Check out our website at ucardigan.org for more events, news and merchandise. And remember folks, JFDI.